So the readings from Romans 8, and I'm going to start at verse 1 and just keep going. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager anticipation, in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. and those he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Dear Heavenly Father, I do pray as we look at this long, rich passage, Lord, that you would even show us just a glimpse of its riches, that it may bring our hearts great joy as we remember we are safe and secure. If we believe in Christ, we are Christ. And Lord, I pray that that will bring us great hope and assurance as we look at this passage. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I have taken on quite a chunk here. And so I'm aware that I may not answer every question that comes up when we look at this passage. And actually, I will draw your attention to some of those questions, and I will encourage you to write them down and to put them in the box at the back so David next week can answer them. Ha ha ha. Back in your court. Today I'm looking at the Holy Spirit and assurance. And it is a hard question. If I said to you, are you sure you're going to be with the Lord in heaven? Are you sure? We might be a little bit concerned. What happens if I get to a point where my mental faculties fade? I no longer seem to be coherent or be able to, you know, someone asks me what the gospel is and I can't give that 2-minute answer. Am I still saved? Am I still going to heaven? What about that indwelling sin I'm constantly fighting that never seems to go away? Am I going to make it home? Am I sure? What happens if things are just really hard for a long time? We're going through pain and trouble and trial, repeating over and over again. Am I sure I'm going to make it? These are hard questions, and I think at some point they may cross our minds. And so today we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit brings us great assurance of our salvation, that we will make it home. And actually, for many of this question, this question results back to a little bit about trust. I wonder if you ever thought about that, this activity where you have to fall backwards and you have to, two people catch you. So the idea is you just fall, relax, and they catch you. And I guess the question is that we may be tempted at times, as I said with those questions, rather than falling sort of backwards into God's grace and kindness, to put our foot back, to sort of try and support ourselves, to sort of move away from maybe God and just try and fight things on our own. Rather than falling backwards into his grace, we fall backwards and we put our foot out. And so I want to encourage you today that we can indeed trust the promises of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings about that great trust. So my first point to look at is that the Spirit brings us under new management. So just as we were like a business, we were under management of one organization and we lived in that way. So when we have the Holy Spirit, we're brought under a new management. And how does that great change occur? Well, it occurs in because of verses 1 to 4. So verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus is just a term for those who have trusted in him and are therefore received with the Spirit. And so we are in some respects united to him. So I can say I'm in Christ Jesus. And that has happened because the sin, Christ took it on the cross, and he gave us his righteousness so that one day we'll be raised again. And that means we are no longer under the flesh. You heard that word a lot, the flesh. That is just the human desires that are in rebellion against God. We are under the Spirit. So I'm under new management. And that means things are starting to change. And that is going to bring about some assurance that I am under new management. It's simply the trusting in Christ. So I repent. I turn away from what I've done. I ask for his forgiveness and I begin to trust in him. And that brings us, first of all, under a new mindset. So under management, we also have a new mindset. Verses 5 to 8. So it says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. Now, to think about this, I thought I'd think about gardening. Now, I know very little about gardening. In fact, what I have learned, I've learned from a film called Kung Fu Panda, kind of my source of all knowledge when I'm in times of gardening. And there's a point where two grandmasters are having a kung fu chat, and one of them puts a seed in the sand and covers it up. And the master goes to him, he's talking to a guy called Shifu, who's just a little mouse thing who beats people up with his stick. He says to Shifu, Shifu, you may wish, it's a peach tree seed in the ground. He says, you may wish for an apple tree or, I don't know, an oak tree, but you'll just get a peach tree. And so what I learned about gardening is if you plant a peach seed, you may wish for something else, but you'll get a peach tree. And so similarly with this, if we are living under the flesh, our lives will be fleshy. Okay, we may wish for something else, but if we have not put our trust in Christ, we will grow up and be in the mind of the flesh. But if we put our mind in the Spirit, so we plant in the Spirit, our minds will grow up and our mindset will change and we will be of the Spirit. See, gardening helps explain God's word, sort of. So that's really important to remember, that our mindsets have been changed. And that means that we are thinking differently. Okay, this is just, I'm starting to think differently. There is one thing I want to say. Verse 8 says, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. It's very important to remember, the flesh will never please God. And again, to help you understand this, imagine there's a king in his castle. There's a rebel force outside who are wanting to attack him. Now, in that rebel army, there may be some very nice people who are being very kind to one another. But actually, there is a fundamental problem with them. They are still in rebellion against the king. Okay, that is the issue at hand here. Okay, and if we are still, if we have not trusted in the Lord, our minds will always be against, cannot please God, verse 8. But if I have trust in the Spirit, my mind is changed. I'm living for the Spirit. And that means I can say, I may not be the man I will be. So I may not be the man when I'm sinless. But I'm not the man I was. And so I'd encourage you to think about transformation. Think about how your mind has been transformed. And with transformation, you've got to remember one very important thing. It's not where you are that matters, it's where you've started. Okay, so I may have started from a place that was far away from the Lord in many respects. And actually, over the course of years and years, I've seen slow, small change. I look back and I say, I wasn't who I was. And this is the Spirit who is transforming your thoughts and mind. If you ever felt that deep sense of my sinfulness and my brokenness before the Lord, my deep sense of longing for Christ, you are thinking as the Spirit would have you think. And so I can be encouraged that because my mindset is changing, the Spirit is working in me. And if I have the Spirit, I'm going to grow in the Spirit. That's what I've planted. That's what will grow. And it's become very important as we see that God has promised that those who have put their trust in Christ will be glorified at the end of the passage. So if we are thinking of the Spirit, if we're changing and we look back and see that transformation, we can see that God is working in us and we'll one day be glorified. What else is the Holy Spirit doing? He's setting our hope on a new thing. And that is verses 9 to 11. So we have the mindset, we're thinking differently. We also start to hope in a new thing. So verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. I start longing for the resurrection body. I start having a deep sense of wanting this body because I know that Christ will raise me from the dead. If I believe in Christ, I have his Spirit, I will be raised with him. So I can have a new hope. I have the Spirit in me and there's hope of a resurrection. And certainly hoping in this new body is important. I wonder if you've ever felt the frustration of fighting sin. Felt the frustration of the body getting weaker and longed for a new body, a new life, to be free from sin. Well, the Spirit, that's what the Spirit is going to bring about in the future. That longing is, again, God working in you by his Holy Spirit for me to know that one day I'll get there. And then another thing, finally, this is under the new management. The final thing he's doing, he is testifying in our hearts that this is true. There's a very interesting, this is in verses 12 to 17, there's a very interesting verse. It says this, the Spirit, verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So what does that mean? Well, the Spirit has allowed us to call out, Abba, Father. I cry out to the Lord, Abba, Father, verse 15. And the Spirit is testifying with me, so my spirit, my thoughts, that I'm a child of God. So what is the Holy Spirit doing? Well, he is confirming in me, giving me that assurance that I am his child. And actually, possibly one of the things we can pray is, Holy Spirit, please convince me that I'm a child of the Lord. Please testify with me that I'm God's child. It's what the Holy Spirit is promising to do, to show us that, to get that feeling. And with him I cry, Abba, Father. And this is a cry. It's not like a dad, or it's a time when you say, Daddy, I need you. Or when you see a child who just has broken a toy and is crying out to his father to fix it. Daddy, fix this, please. It's a cry of my heart. And so actually it may be too, we have experienced that longing, that cry, that deep need for our Heavenly Father. And once again, that is the Holy Spirit testifying in you that you are God's child. And we might want to pray for that. Pray for that joy, that feeling of hope and longing. Once again, if I've turned to Christ and I know Christ, the Spirit is then going to testify in my heart, I am his child. That is one of the Spirit's purposes. And we need to pray he will do that. To give us that cry. To give us that hope and that joy that we are his children. To realize that's the best thing ever. To have the Almighty Creator God of the entire universe as our dad. The great privilege of knowing the Lord is that we become co-heirs with Christ. We are inheriting eternal life. We are one day going to be glorified with him. It is the hope, the joy, the incredible truth that the Bible is telling us. And actually, I know for me that the truth can become very intellectual. It can become very much, it's just something in my mind. But here we see that the Spirit of God is testifying to our spirit, to our very hearts, to our very feelings, to our very longings, to transform them. This is something that moves beyond my mind into my heart, so that I begin to cry out, not understand, compute, logicalize. I cry out. In fact, I would encourage you probably to go out and listen to the Intimacy with God sermon that David did. This is an intimate relationship with our living God. This is a father-son relationship, not two business people. This is a dependence on our God and our Heavenly Father. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. And I would encourage you to pray for him to do that, to give you those longings. And this is all the Holy Spirit's works. This is very important to remember. This isn't a list of things to do. This is a thing to remind yourself of. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. We're going to see that's very important. This is not our work. And that is a deep encouragement. Because if me getting home, if me sharing in Christ's glory is dependent on me, I'd be constantly terrified I was going to muck it up. I'd be constantly terrified. Imagine I'm having a morning when I'm just feeling a bit, I'm just not sure if what I believe is true. I'm not sure, I'm having a bit of a moment of, Lord, I'm really struggling at this moment, and I walk in front of a bus and I get hit by a bus. And you have to ask the question, well, at that point, was I saved or not? had at that point I'd said enough or remembered enough or was thinking the right things that I'll be saved? You might think, well, maybe, maybe not. It just depends how you were, what you were thinking, what you were crying out at that point. But here the Bible is telling us that if you are Christ, if you trust in Christ, you will make it home. And that will be God's work in you. So when I get hit by that bus, I'm okay. Because it's God who's bringing me home. And I think our major problem with this is that the human heart is that we're forgetful. I could. I could say this to myself. But there's still times when I get a bit guilt-ridden about something. And I seek to earn my forgiveness. I forget that the Holy Spirit is... that I know I'm secure. I forget my security. My assurance starts to wane. I forget that it's the Spirit working in me, and I start to think it's all on me. I've got to earn my forgiveness. Oh, no. Or maybe I become anxious. I'm really reluctant to say no to serving at church because I need to prove myself. I need to prove myself to Jesus that I've done enough. I've done enough service. I'm forgetting the gospel of grace, that I am saved and it's the Spirit's work in me. I need to remind myself there is no hope in the flesh. I'm of the Spirit. I do not have an obligation to the flesh. I do not have to please that anymore. I have an obligation to the Spirit. And so I will not make it home because I have good exam results or a degree. I will not make it home because I have a good job or I was liked. I will not make it home if I have a long and productive retirement. The only reason I will be glorified is because the Spirit of God is working in me. And perhaps we need to remind each other that more often. Perhaps we need to remind ourselves of the great work of the Spirit. Perhaps through an accountability partner or just general encouragement. Let's not forget the gospel of grace. The second section, verse 18 to 30. This is the Spirit brings about a longing which God will accomplish. So this is really dealing with the suffering, you know, the constant sufferings. Again, we saw at the end of verse 17, you sort of see the link here. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So Paul is already preparing us to understand that the life of following Christ, of being his heir, means we will suffer as well. And then he goes on to say, verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. There is something so much better than our suffering, so much so that there are three things that are longing for it. Okay, so the creation is longing for it, verse 20 to 21. The creation is just, would long for human beings to be restored in their glory so they may steward rightly over the earth, that it may be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. So creation longs for that day when God's children will be revealed and they'll be able to carry out that creation instruction of stewarding over the earth. Creation is longing for this moment. The Spirit helps us long for it. So, not only so, we ourselves, verse 23, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to our sonship, the redemption of our bodies. What is the first fruits of the Spirit? This is really linked to the idea of the assurance. Well, imagine you go to a new restaurant has opened in your area. They've done a free launch. But the one thing they don't tell you is the menu. You have no idea what you'll eat or how much you will get. It's free, so you decide to go along. And you sit down, and there you are. You're hoping you at least get one meal. You haven't just wasted a car journey out. And you get a starter. And you eat it. And it's the most wonderful thing you've ever tasted. It's amazing. Imagine the best starter you've ever had. That is what it is, but 10 times more. Mine may be a pate with some onion chutney, a bit of garnish, and a nice toasted bread. But quite a lot of it. That'd be really good. I just love it. I'll sit there. And then I sit there and I'd be really hoping. I really hope that wasn't the end. I hope what I tasted wasn't just the end of the meal. I hope there are a couple more courses, or in my case, a few more courses. You know, fish course, meat course, dessert, cheese, everything. You know, I'd be longing for more. And this is one of the Holy Spirit's things. It brings about the first fruits is like that initial taste, that longing, that moment where we maybe felt the joy of knowing the Lord. That moment when we look back and we see, look at what God has done. That is incredible to see that in my life, that I am not the person I was. Perhaps a peace we felt through a really tough time. Or perhaps just knowing that wonderful hope of one day we will be with the Lord. That taste, that moment of deep delight is a longing. That's the Spirit opening our hearts to long for more. So we groan eagerly as we wait for that. We taste it. We long for more. It's like sitting in the restaurant. We're longing for the rest. And so we're sort of groaning inwardly, maybe with the pains of hunger. We're groaning inwardly as we wait for that delightful moment when we'll get everything. When we won't have that battle of sin. When there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more death. We begin to long for the adoption of sonship and the redemption of our bodies. And if we've tasted that, if we know that, that is the Spirit working in us. If we're longing for that, that is the Spirit working in us. That is the Spirit changing us. That is the Spirit confirming in us, testifying to us we are God's children. And we will make it home. We're longing for this. And we're hoping for something that we don't already have. We're hoping for something we have not yet got, verse 24 and 25. But even more so, the Spirit longs for this to happen. And this is a really good thing. So verse 26 to verse 27, the Spirit is praying, intercedes for us through wordless groans. And what's really good is because our God is, I'm trying to explain the Trinity in very quickly, but because our God is three persons united in one, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what God the Father wants. And if we read in John, we read that God does his will. And so the Spirit prays for that. So if the Holy Spirit, who knows God, is praying for what God wants, God will do it. Okay? And that's something really encouraging. If this is this, what it's saying here is telling us to have confidence that the Holy Spirit is praying for something. The Holy Spirit knows God intimately because it's part of the Trinity. And God, for God's people, in accordance with the will of God. That means it will happen. So even in our weakness, even when we're feeling weak and far from God, the Holy Spirit is still praying that for that to happen. And so I know it will happen because it is the will of God. And so I can have confidence that it will be answered. We will make it home. We will have the glory. It will one day be ours. And then finally, the kind of the reminder that God will accomplish this. This is like the confirmation it will happen. Verses 28-30. And this is once again very important to remind us of God's work. Look at verse 30. And those there are some words predestined that brings us many questions. Okay, where there's many questions. I'm not going to answer all of them now. I actually think Paul's point here is to show us that this is God's work and that to bring us great assurance. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Most important thing, those he justified, he also glorified. If you believe and trust in Christ, it's because of the Spirit's work in you. So if the Spirit's work has justified you, it will glorify you. See, it's in the past tense, he glorified. It's done. In God's eyes, it's finished. It's done. The whole thing has happened. So there may be great pain in this life, but we cannot lose that glory. Now, I know we have many questions about that things. We read these passages and we think, well, is that fair? I want to say it's actually an amazing thing. Because as I said before, remember my thing about if it's up to me, the issue with the bus. If it's up to me, my life becomes very stressful. If I think that somehow I need to make sure I've decided to follow Jesus, and I've decided to make sure, even just the decision, if I have to make sure I've decided, if I wake up one morning and think, you know what, Jesus, I'm just not feeling you today, I'm not feeling it today, just not interested, and I get hit by the bus, what happens then? If it's all on me, I've blown it. That last moment, you could say, 80 years of faithful service in the Lord, you wake up on the 80 day and one, and you think, no, I'm not interested. Bonk. What happens now? Oh, that's terrifying. I'll be terrified. I'll be mortally worried that if I wake up one day and I'm just in the wrong mood, maybe I just haven't slept very well, or you know, I haven't had my Weetabix or my first coffee, that I could be separated God from God forever. Ah! I mean, that's how I feel when I think about this. Read this, I think, actually, no, I don't need to fear that. Because if I've trusted in Christ, I am Christ. I will be glorified. I'll make him. It's his work, and that is a great encouragement. And actually, it may be that if we feel those things of questions, it sounds a little bit like the snake in Genesis 3. God is not good. He's not fair. It's not right. When I come to passages like this that have bits that are hard and bits that are wonderful, perhaps I need to pray that the Holy Spirit will convince me that it is true and right. And I need to be reminded this brings greater assurance. This really gives me the only way I can have assurance. If this is true, if it's God's work in bringing me to glory. And so, as I could just conclude, I want to say the Holy Spirit brings assurance because it reminds us of what is true. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched a film, or maybe a really good film, and you're completely lost in the story. You're just there, you know, I'm watching Star Wars and I am there flying the X-Wing. I'm there fighting the battles. And the film ends and you're still sort of in the film. So as I sort of, this may sound really odd, but as I sort of walk to the door, I'm just sort of hoping that if I hold up my hand, the Force will open it. And I'll walk out and there'll be some droids for me to slash down. And I won't have left the story. I'll be still in it. And what can happen for us is we can get too caught up in the world's understanding of things. We can get too caught up in what the world says is true. Perhaps it is for us that you know, you still need to earn your salvation. You still need to be good enough. Perhaps that feeling keeps entering it. I need to be good enough. Perhaps that I feel like I need to earn, make up for things I've done wrong. Perhaps I feel like I just can't say no to the things people are asking me to do. Perhaps I just feel like I can't admit when I've gone wrong. The world starts tunes in. We start walking in that world thinking those things are true. And the Holy Spirit is there to testify they are not true. It's not the reality you're living in. If you are Christ, you're not living in the reality of the flesh anymore. You are living in the reality of the Spirit. And if that is true, you are a child of the living God. Remember verse 30. He will glorify. He justified you. He will glorify you. It is done. And that obviously is why, and I could have carried on with Romans 8, verse 31 to 39. That is why we can say nothing can separate us. Because it's not dependent on me. It's not dependent on the hardship. It's not dependent on the pain. It's not dependent if I'm sick or if I'm dying. It's not dependent on whether the world seems against Christ. If you are Christ, you will be glorified. And learning that truth, reminding ourselves of that truth, praying that that truth will really sink into our hearts, that we will know that, brings us that deep sense of assurance that gives us the courage to live for Christ, the courage to say no if we feel like we're being overwhelmed, the courage to realise that actually Christ has dealt with my past, the courage to say actually at times I can admit, you know, I was wrong. The confidence that despite how my circumstances may change, I know where I'll end up. I think my final thought to end with, I was thinking about this. This is an illustration I've thought myself, not one I've read somewhere, we'll see how it goes. And it's about water, because obviously it's very hot, so it's natural. I was thinking a bit like a water slide. Now, when you go start on a water slide, you know where it ends up. Even if it goes up and down, left and right, backwards and forwards, even if you're terrified, scared, you bump your head a little bit, you know that eventually you'll end up in the pool, and that'd be a great, woo-hoo! I was thinking, if we believed and trusted in Christ, God has effectively launched us down the water slide, and we are whizzing forward, backwards. Times may be hard, things may challenge us, it may be ups and downs, great joy and hope, but one day, there's only one place that water slide ends up. In the pool of knowing the Lord. Hey! That is the only place it ends up. That is where we will get. That is where we will be. And I just want to really leave you with that encouragement. This isn't a time to go away and do lots of things. This is a time to really reflect, remind yourself, preach that to yourself. If I am Christ, I will be Christ. If I've believed and trusted him, I'm on that water side. I will make it to that great pool of joy. Of knowing the Lord, of walking with the Lord again one day. So I'm just going to pray for us that would really, really fill our hearts. Lord, I really want to pray verse 16, that the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Lord, I pray for any of us who are feeling far from the Lord, feeling unsure of where we're heading, unsure of, maybe if we are a Christian, Lord, I pray that you would testify in our hearts. If we have just understood, asked Jesus into our life, that you would testify that we are your children. That we would know that not just in our heads, but also in our spirit, in our hearts. That we would know that deep joy. And that, Lord, that would change us more and more. That we would become more confident and courageous as we know where we're going. Lord, I do pray that longing will continue to fill our hearts and our minds. I pray all for your glory. Amen.